So if you had exactly 132 days until your 50th birthday, how would you spend that time?
Oh, that's a dangerous question.
Right. I mean, most people might plan some massive group vacation or maybe buy a sports car or, suddenly decide they need to train for an Ironman triathlon.
Yeah, it's that classic instinct, right? You want to find something that feels like a radical departure from the daily grind.
Okay, exactly.
It's a completely natural response to an arbitrary milestone. A ticking clock forces this reassessment of priorities, and that usually results in a frantic search for novelty.
Yeah, but today we're looking at someone who completely rejected the vacation and the Porsche.
Thank goodness for that.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Instead, their plan was to use those exact 132 days to launch up to 50 fully functional monetized websites.
50 in 132 days.
50. And we aren't just looking at the theoretical idea of doing this. We have the actual blueprints. We're doing a deep dive into two incredibly detailed yet distinctly different source documents that outline this exact 132-day sprint.
Right. From May 11 to September 20, 2026.
Yep. One is called the 50th Birthday Website Launch Challenge Playbook, and the other is simply the Website Factory System.
They are two very different operational philosophies, applied to the exact same temporal constraint. Because the goal in both isn't just to cobble together a bunch of random internet
Oh,
pages,
not at all.
it's to build a repeatable, highly efficient website factory.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission today is to compare and contrast these two fascinating blueprints, figure out exactly how they engineer this massive logistical challenge, and ultimately tell you which of these operating manuals you should actually use if you decide to take on a sprint like this.
Assuming you're brave enough.
Assuming you're brave enough, exactly. But before we pit them against each other, we have to look at the one radical mindset shift that both documents demand. They both aggressively agree that this is not a hackathon.
Which is, it's counterintuitive for a lot of people entering the tech or maker space.
Oh, for sure.
Because the default assumption is that building multiple products requires this heroic, caffeine-fueled binge where you just don't sleep for a week.
Just Red Bull and anxiety.
Exactly. And both of these architects predict catastrophic failure if you adopt that approach. A hackathon relies on unsustainable bursts of motivation,
Right.
but a factory relies on repeatable, frictionless systems.
I always think of it like meal prepping for the week.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, because if you act like a master chef inventing a brand new complicated recipe from scratch every single night,
You're gonna crash.
you're going to burn out and order takeout by Wednesday. But if you build a commercial kitchen where the prep is already done, the fundamental ingredients are chopped and stored, and you just swap out the proteins and spices, you can serve 100 different meals without reinventing the pan.
That analogy perfectly mirrors what these documents call a standard build stack.
Okay, tell me more about that.
So they mandate that you choose a reusable framework, something like Astro for, lightning fast static content, or Next.js if you need interactive web apps. And the key is you make their structural decisions exactly once.
The playbook literally says every repeated decision is a tax. I love that framing.
It's brilliant. And it's vital to the math of launching 50 sites. You cannot spend 3 days researching which database to use for site number 12.
No, you'd never finish.
Right. You build a component library, say a standard email capture form, a standard pricing table, maybe a standard navigation bar, and you reuse those exact components across every single project.
So you're basically stamping out the chassis on an assembly line and only changing the paint color and the interior trim.
Exactly. But it's not just the backend technology that gets standardized, it's the actual scope of what you are building. Both blueprints insist on what they term ruthless scope.
Ruthless scope.
Yeah, they are explicitly telling you to abandon the idea of building massive bloated blogs.
Which is honestly a huge relief. The era of publishing, like the complete 10,000 word guide to home improvement, is functionally dead in this model.
Completely dead. What's fascinating here is why this works in the 2026 landscape. Search engines no longer reward generalist content farms. They are optimizing for immediate utility. They're looking for what SEO professionals call nano clusters of authority.
Okay, wait, let's break that down because nano clusters sounds like something out of a sci-fi novel. What does that actually look like in practice?
Fair enough. Imagine you build an HVAC, quote, decoder.
Okay.
A user lands on the page, they input their zip code, the square footage of their house, and the price the contractor quoted them. The tool instantly spits out a dial saying whether that quote is historically fair, high, or a complete ripoff.
Oh, wow. That is a high-utility interaction.
Exactly. It solves a massive, immediate pain point.
Because if my AC dies in August, I don't want to read the history of Freon.
Right. Nobody cares about Freon in August.
I just want to know if the guy charging me $6,000 is taking advantage of me.
And the search algorithms know that. If you surround that single interactive calculator with just 3 or 4 highly targeted articles like red flags in HVAC contracts or how to read a SEER rating, the algorithm recognizes that tightly clustered utility.
It trusts that specific domain to answer that specific query far faster than a massive generic home blog that happens to have one post about air conditioners.
Exactly. You are operating as a publisher of micro utilities. Another example they gave was a first-year dog cost calculator specifically for apartment dwellers.
See, that is so niche.
Or a cybersecurity checklist tailored only for local brick-and-mortar retail shops.
Okay, so the foundation is set. They agree on the factory model, the tech stack, and the hyper-specific scope. But this is where the paths violently diverge. Let's dig into the first document, the playbook. I'm calling this approach the holistic solopreneur.
A fitting title, considering how deeply it centers the human operator.
It really does. So how does the playbook execute this factory? Well, it structures the entire 132 days around the concept of portfolio optionality.
Meaning you aren't putting all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly. You are absolutely not betting the house on one big idea. The goal is to hit a baseline of 18 to 25 launched sites, operating under the assumption that the vast majority of them are going to be absolute dead ends.
It basically adapts a venture capital model for micro-publishing.
Right.
A venture capitalist invests in 10 startups knowing 8 will go to 0, 1 will break even, and 1 will return the fund. Here, you launch 20 sites. A site that gets 0 traffic is just a cheap data point.
But a tiny site that starts organically capturing, say, 20 email signups a week, that is a clear signal to scale. You double down on the winners.
But the playbook prevents you from just throwing pure garbage at the wall. You can't just buy a domain, slap up a coming soon page, and count it as a launch.
Oh, no, not at all. It enforces a strict 10-point minimum useful launch standard.
Those standards are the guardrails against the temptation of speed. A project isn't considered launched unless it hits every point.
Like what?
Well, it requires basic SEO hygiene to be completed, analytics to be properly installed, and crucially, a clear conversion action, whether that's an email opt-in, a quote request form, or an affiliate link.
And my absolute favorite part of the 10-point standard is the mandate for a human quality pass.
Oh, yes. The anti-slop rule.
Yes. The playbook explicitly warns against churning out AI-generated slop just to hit a number. It says, do not confuse speed with slop. If it doesn't actually help a real person make a decision, it fails the standard.
To maintain that quality while hitting the volume, the playbook organizes the 132 days into 5 distinct phases.
Okay, break those down for us.
You don't just start building 50 sites on day one. Phase one is the foundation. Just the first 7 days where you literally build the factory chassis we talked about earlier.
So you're just setting up your kitchen.
Precisely. Then you move into phase two, velocity, where you start stamping out the sites. Then validation, where you test the traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Monetization, where you add the revenue streams to the winners. And it concludes with phase five, the birthday portfolio polish, where you spend the final month purely refining the assets that actually survived.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. The biggest differentiator isn't the 5 phases. It's the fact that it actively integrates your personal physical life into the sprint.
Which is so rare for these types of challenges.
It refuses to pretend that you are a machine. Even on super busy days, the playbook demands a 90-minute minimum work session, but it also demands that you track your body metrics.
Right, mandating sleep minimums and daily walks.
And it tracks relationships, requiring at least one highly intentional family action a week so you don't alienate your spouse or kids.
And identity. It also tracks identity, which might be the most powerful mechanism in the entire document.
Yeah, so...
It asks you to reflect weekly on the psychological shift taking place. The ultimate goal of this sprint isn't just the accumulation of web properties. It is the forced evolution of your identity.
Oh, I like that.
You are transitioning from someone who endlessly overthinks ideas in private to someone who consistently publishes solutions in public.
Even with that healthy, holistic approach, though, the sheer volume makes this a massive grind. To keep you moving, the playbook enforces a strict no-zero days rule.
That rule is the engine of the entire philosophy. It dictates that every single day, regardless of how exhausted you are or what life throws at you, you must make forward motion on the portfolio.
I can literally hear people burning out just thinking about working 132 days straight without a weekend off.
Which is why the playbook redefines what work actually means on those hard days. It is deeply forgiving.
How forgiving are we talking?
A non-zero day doesn't mean writing 1,000 lines of code. If you are sick or overwhelmed, a non-zero day might consist of fixing one broken URL or, you know, submitting a single XML sitemap to Google or spending 3 minutes replying to a user email.
So it's just about refusing to let the streak die.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the psychology behind that is profound. Momentum is incredibly fragile. When you take 2 days completely off, the friction required to restart the factory on Monday is massive.
Oh, it's the worst. Yep. Getting back to the desk on Monday is brutal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But by requiring just a microscopic touch on the project every day, you keep those neural pathways active. You remain in the posture of a builder. The playbook understands that the primary threat to a 132-day sprint isn't a technical failure with your server.
Oh.
The failure point is human psychology. By tracking your sleep, forcing you to engage with your family, and allowing micro wins on hard days, it recognizes that the human founder is the most critical piece of infrastructure.
If the human breaks, the factory burns down. It's a remarkably humane way to approach what's essentially an extreme endurance sport.
But what if you decided the human founder was actually a liability?
Well, enter document number 2. If the playbook is the holistic solopreneur, the website factory system is, let's call it the ruthless data machine.
Stripping away the human element changes the entire geometry of the challenge.
Completely. Because this second document is operated by a guy named Dave, based in Canton, Ohio.
Yeah.
And Dave is not prioritizing his daily walks.
Definitely not.
Dave is not reflecting on his identity shift. Dave is operating a localized server rack with dual RTX 3090 graphics cards, orchestrating what he calls a multi-clawed code team.
He has basically built a localized artificial intelligence farm in his house. He isn't acting as a developer. He is acting as an orchestra conductor for autonomous AI agents.
And the mechanism here is wild.
Ah.
I really want to break down how Dave builds a site, because he isn't sitting there writing the next JS components like the playbook user is.
No, his workflow is entirely agentic. He prompts a primary research agent with a niche, let's say, commercial drone insurance.
Okay, so the AI takes that.
Right. That agent crawls the web, identifies the specific data gaps, and outlines a utility tool. Then it hands that outline to a coding agent, which writes the next JS application using his pre-approved tech stack. And then a third deployment agent pushes that code to a live server. Dave's primary job is simply to review the final output and unblock the agents if they get stuck in a loop.
This scale is staggering. But here is the radical twist that completely blew my mind when I read this. For Dave, the websites themselves are totally disposable. They're absolutely not the point of the sprint.
In the playbook, the website is the product. You want it to rank, you want it to help people, you want it to make money.
Right.
But in Dave's system, the websites are merely sensors that he drops into the internet to measure the temperature of a niche.
Yes. The entire factory exists solely to feed a larger, overarching AI system he built called TrustCore. Every site he launches is just a revenue probe.
Every piece of traffic, every ad click-through rate, every bounce rate.
It's all just structured data flowing backward into this TrustCore model.
Think about the advantage that provides. He is using the 132-day challenge not to build a portfolio of standalone businesses, but to train a proprietary machine learning model on real-world market behavior.
So if a site happens to generate revenue, that's just a nice bonus that pays his server electricity bill.
Exactly. The true asset being built is the intelligence of TrustCore.
And because he views the sites as disposable sensors, his system identifies 3 fatal bottlenecks that will ruin the sprint: perfection, niche overthinking, and emotional attachment to losers.
Emotional attachment is the hardest human hurdle to clear.
Oh, absolutely.
When you spend weeks building something, you want it to succeed. You will hold on to a failing project for months, tweaking the colors, hoping it miraculously finds an audience.
But Dave has zero time for hope. To combat that attachment, his system enforces a brutal 21-day kill rule.
21 days.
Yeah, if a site registers no signal after 3 weeks, it is immediately sunset. Dead. Gone.
And I have to stop you here because I actively push back on this timeline.
Really? You think 21 days is too fast to kill a project?
Way too fast. Look, if we look at the mechanics of organic search, SEO is notoriously glacial. Both documents acknowledge that getting a new domain indexed and trusted by search engines takes months. That's true.
You can't just plant a tomato seed, stare at the dirt for 3 weeks, and then rip it out of the ground screaming, "Where are my tomatoes?"
Yeah.
You are cutting the cord before the engine even has a chance to turn over.
That is an entirely valid critique if Dave were playing the traditional organic SEO game.
Right.
But Dave isn't waiting for Google to index his blog posts over a 6-month horizon. This raises an important question. How does Dave actually define a signal?
Yeah, what qualifies as a signal to save a site from the chopping block?
He is looking for immediate active engagement. If his multi-agent team builds that commercial drone insurance calculator, Dave isn't waiting for search traffic. He drops a link to that tool directly into drone enthusiast subreddits or runs a tiny, highly targeted $5 ad campaign on a niche forum.
Okay, I see.
If he puts a hyper-specific utility directly in front of the target audience and absolutely nobody interacts with it, nobody shares it, nobody gives him an email address, he doesn't need to wait 6 months to know the concept is a dud.
Oh, so he's testing the conversion rate of the core idea instantly.
Exactly. And this highlights Dave's completely inverted philosophy on failure. When a site dies on day 21, the playbook might view that as a massive waste of a week's effort.
Right.
Dave's system views that failure as successful data acquisition. TrustCore just learned the exact parameters of what does not work in the commercial drone space. The dashboard is his supreme discipline mechanism.
If the numbers say the patient is dead, he pulls the plug without a second thought.
Because he didn't personally code it anyway.
It is incredibly cold. The text actually reads, "Sunset can mean full kill. The site stops getting active work." It is the definition of ruthless efficiency. But I suppose if your goal is to orchestrate 40 or 50 deployments in a few months, that level of emotional detachment is your biggest competitive advantage.
It removes the friction of hesitation entirely, but it also changes the nature of what you're doing from entrepreneurship to pure data harvesting.
Which brings us to the ultimate showdown. We promise to deliver a verdict. We have two wildly different blueprints for the exact same 132-day deadline leading up to a 50th birthday.
The playbook and the system.
Right. You have the playbook, a holistic human-centered framework designed to build a sustainable portfolio. And you have Dave's system, a localized multi-agent AI pipeline designed to relentlessly harvest market data. So what does this all mean? If a listener wants to attempt a massive sprint like this, which of these operating manuals should they actually use?
Well, when you look at the underlying mechanics, they are solving entirely different problems. The playbook solves the problem of human hesitation. The system solves the problem of data acquisition at scale.
But forced to choose the superior document for the average person taking on this challenge, I think we are completely aligned here. The playbook is the better, significantly more valuable blueprint. Hands down.
Oh, absolutely. There is really no contest for the vast majority of users. The playbook wins.
And the rationale comes down to infrastructure and intent. Dave's system is fascinating, but it is incredibly brittle for anyone who isn't Dave.
Highly brittle.
It relies entirely on pre-existing advanced infrastructure. You need the dual RTX 3090s. You need the proprietary TrustCore model. You need deep experience in orchestrating autonomous agents.
In Dave's model, the human isn't the creator. The human is just a mechanic tightening bolts on an AI machine.
Yeah. And if you don't already have a PhD-level understanding of prompt architecture, Dave's system will collapse on day 3.
That is the crux of the issue. Dave's blueprint assumes you already have a factory running in the background. The playbook, conversely, actually teaches you how to build the factory from scratch, and it does so in a deeply humane way.
Exactly. The playbook acknowledges the reality of the 50th birthday deadline. The ultimate goal of turning 50 or hitting any major life milestone shouldn't just be having 40 random websites sitting on a server somewhere.
No, of course not.
It should be about looking at the body of work you produced and being proud of it. It's about maintaining your relationships with the people you love. It's about building genuine high-utility tools that actually help real people solve real problems.
There is a specific line in the playbook that serves as the perfect thesis for this entire deep dive. It says, "Do not let the website sprint consume the life sprint."
Wow. That is incredible advice.
It understands that building a business or launching a massive project should never destroy the builder. By building in physical rest, demanding relational checkpoints, and insisting on quality over sheer algorithmic volume, it focuses on sustainable momentum. Dave's system just feels like it's one bad server update away from burning the house down.
It really does. So for you listening right now, if you want to build a sustainable business habit that actually outlasts a single sprint, the playbook is your guide.
You don't need a massive server rack in your basement.
No. You need a repeatable tech stack, clear boundaries on your time, and a relentless focus on solving highly specific problems for people. Because whether you're approaching a major birthday or just an ordinary Tuesday, the secret to massive output isn't punishing yourself for working harder. It's building a factory that removes the friction of starting over every single day.
You build the framework so that the work becomes inevitable, and you know, you make sure you take a walk while you do it.
Never skip the daily walk. But we want to leave you with one final thought to mull over or explore on your own. Both of these fascinating documents treat a milestone birthday as a strict, unmoving deadline.
Which forces extreme action.
Right. But think about your own life right now. If you were to draw a hard line in the sand exactly 132 days from today, regardless of how old you are, what is the factory you would finally build? And perhaps more importantly, what obsolete version of your own identity are you finally willing to sunset to make room for it?